Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed Chinese New Year. So will this year be a better year? In fact, sometimes when you scroll or swipe through the phone, sometimes you will have some song. I wonder whether you have heard a very old song in Chinese. 明天会更好. So it just happened that what? Let's swipe to this page. Then when I look at the lyrics, well, indeed, men look for a better day ahead. Okay, for our title is a better year. So what does it make up a good year, a better year, or a better day ahead? Now the following three reasons found in this psalm suggest to us that it can be a better year when we stay close to God. But the moment we define what is better or what is considered as a good year, then we are following the world, okay, because the world is measuring everything by success or failure. So if it's a success, it is a good year. Yeah, of course, in comparison with last year, it will be a measurement. This year is a better year than last year. So if it is a success, then it is a better year. If it is a failure, then it is not a better year. But if we were to follow, of course, our scope is Psalm 55. Okay? Our scope is the whole Bible. Well, there will be more reason for a better year. Okay, so we thank God that YAF has chosen just Psalm 55. Just enough for us to know that our blessings are spiritual. Okay, of course, it can also be physical, but first and foremost, because we are God people, the blessing is always from God's perspective. So that's why it is always spiritual. Okay? So we must let God decide for us, okay, what is a better year. So based on Psalm 65, okay, there are three reasons. Okay, first, because of God's redemption. Second, because of God's power. And lastly, because of God's. This will be the three reasons for us to conclude. Okay, of course, we don't conclude now, unless we have great faith. Great faith that we know that this year can be a better year because of these three reasons. Okay, so that at the end of the year, we can say in advance. Okay, right now, we can say in advance, it will be a better year because of God's redemption, because of God's power, because of God. We can say by faith, definitely. But our faith is not blind faith. Our faith is logical. Because we believe in this God according to Psalm 55. And we are going to meditate upon this. Okay, so we pray that the Lord will help us this evening to learn. Okay, to learn fully what will our answer be when the question is posed to us. Will this year be a better year for us? So first, it's because of God's redemption. We see that from verses 1 to 5. So this is the first reason why this year can be a better year. Because of God's redemption. In fact, without redemption, we have nothing to begin with. Now, without salvation, we don't even know who God is. We don't even know we are under the wrath of God. We have no answer to the problem of sin that we have. Okay, so we thank God for God's redemption, God's salvation through Jesus Christ. And we know that because of our sins, we are separated from God. So we thank God that we are now on the other side of heaven. Okay? We are no more heading towards hell, heading towards eternal punishment. Okay? Our life has been changed. Okay? Our destiny is changed. Okay? And the Bible tells us that we need to be born again to experience this wonderful and amazing life. So that's why the psalmist was able to say in verse 1, because of God's mercy. He says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. And David was the one who wrote Psalm 55. Not only is he part of God's covenantal people, he is also enjoying a close relationship with Him. And so now he is ready to worship Him. So that's why he says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. So he is all ready to worship God. Okay? And all the preparation for worship has been done. And that's what he means here. So David come before God, having all the preparation done, is ready to worship God in His holy presence. And the idea here is not God waiting for His people to worship Him. It is the opposite. The people are waiting for their turn to worship God. What a privilege. What a privilege. So before salvation, we don't even know who God is, how to worship Him. So we worship Him according to what we think, our idea of who God is. Okay? And all these are useless because we know the God that we form in our imagination is not the one living and true God. So until He revealed Himself to us, then we are given this privilege to worship Him. Okay? And so God's redemption is so special. It's so amazing. So no way can anyone do this unless they are redeemed, unless they are in the right relationship with God. Of course, for the people of God in the Old Testament, their place of worship was in Zion. It means it is in Jerusalem, the city of God. And this was where God had chosen to make His dwelling place on earth, where He will meet with His people in worship. So the significance of worship is reserved for God's people. Okay? And so when they prepare themselves, when they look forward to worship, it is indeed a joy that is found in the heart. So this one cannot be something that you make up. Because God knows every heart. Know how we prepare ourselves to worship Him. Especially on the Lord's Day, how do we prepare to worship Him? Is it with a thankful heart? Is it with a heart that is to be given to the Lord? That means we are preparing already. The preparation does not begin on Saturday night. The preparation begins the moment the Lord's Day ended. Okay, and throughout the whole week, we are preparing ourselves to want to worship God. And so that is the heart of the psalmist over here. Now how about the vow? The vow that we read in the second part of the verse. Now the context and background of the psalm was likely the harvest time. So before the harvest, there could be many vows made by the farmers. How they must depend on God entirely in order to have the harvest. God controls the rain, God controls the sunshine, God controls even over the pests that could destroy the harvest anytime. So the psalmist, together with the farmers, place themselves at the mercy of God. And so when God blessed them with a bumper harvest, they will remember the Father. And how they ought to trust in Him even more. And so the significance of making vows is based upon the relationship that they have with God. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, the psalmist says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And so it is entire dependence on God. So our relationship with God is not, oh God, you have saved me. Oh, I thank you for that. And then after that, we go our own way. No, it's God. Oh, thou that hearest prayer. God's prayer is a continual communication that we make unto God. So that is a communion. Okay? And the communion with God is that God is not dead. God is not uninterested in our affairs. When we pray to Him, He tells us that God wants us to come before Him all the time. And He is very interested in what we do in our life. He is the one living and true God. So sometimes I really pity those idol worshippers where they put their so-called God on the altar. Or even in the temple. When they have time, okay, or when they need so-called spiritual blessing or physical blessing, then they will think of the idol. They will think of their God. But what about their God? Their God will have no such thought, not because they are not living. Not they are not true. So it's only in the mind of man. You know how they are all our imagination. But not the one living and true God. See how the Lord has revealed Himself to us through His creation, through His word, and through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So by this revelation, we can reach Him. Okay? We can now approach Him. We don't have to bring chicken. We don't have to bring fruits in order to buy Him over. Even we come just as we are, He is already here. So because when we come with the redemption already made because of Christ. So all thou that hearest prayer, when God's people pray to Him, so this is the truth that God hears the prayers of His people. And who will not want prayer to be heard? That's why He says here, unto thee shall all flesh come. If only the people of the world know the one living and true God. Yeah, but because they do not know. If they were to know, will they not come? They will come. If the eyes were open, they will come. And it's such a great attraction to all flesh to come to Him. Because who will not want their prayer to be heard and answered? And so the redemption that we receive is such a great privilege. Not that we deserve, but God has mercy and grace showered upon you. And then in verse 3, reminds us of our sin. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. What does it mean? Iniquities prevail against me. On our own, we can never say no to sin. Why do we sin? It's because we are already sinners. The moment we are born into this world, we are born in sin. That's who we are. Utterly condemned. Now that is our depraved state. So that no one can sin. Absolutely no one can sin. Only God can sin. So that's why the second part, as for our transgression, thou shalt put them only. And so it's the antithetical pluralism. We are of no power, but God has all the power. And so we thank God that salvation is not dependent on me. Because if salvation dependent on me, I'm lost. Completely lost. And even if I have this ability to use my good work or even money to try to save myself, how much of it will be enough? It can never be enough. Not even close to it. But thank God that the Lord is able to put all our transgressions, all our iniquities away. And so the God only Jesus Christ. By God's redemption to Jesus Christ, you are saved forevermore. And so the redemption which God gave to us is a gift. It's not something we earn. No, it's not something we count by merit. And of course, in IBBC, we always count our credits. Make sure that we have enough credit to make it. You know, either a certificate or a diploma or a degree. No, we make sure that we have enough credit. So the moment we make it, wow, I know it is such an accomplishment. But not for our salvation. Our salvation requires none of our credit. Our salvation is all from God. God's credit. That's why all glory be to Him and Him alone. Verse 4, that's where the blessing comes. Because of the redemption that God has given, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. So over here, well, you don't have to be a Calvinist to know the theology. The psalmist, David, lived ahead of time, even before Calvin, when he believed in the doctrine of election. And he knew that sinful men are incapable of choosing God to be saved. And so that's why we have the 5 points of Calvinism that summarizes very well what we need to understand of our salvation. It's because we are totally depraved, we are not without God, without God. Okay, so blessed is the man whom God chooses. So who is the one who chooses God and be saved? If it's not us, we will never choose Him. But God gave us the faith so that we may choose Him. Okay, so even the faith comes from God. Well, if not, we will surely perish. So God has chosen some to be saved before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4. And this election was not done because of any good that God foresees in us. It is unconditional. There is nothing, if it is a conditional, I would say that no one will be saved. No one will be saved. Because no one is good. That's why it is unconditional. So thank God it is unconditional. So to all men who were chosen by God, the psalmist says, they are blessed. Now the word blessed means happy. Are you happy? Actually, it's not wrong to wish one another happy new year. Of course, nowadays, to one another, to brothers and sisters, to five, we will greet one another blessed new year, or blessed birthday, or blessed Christmas. But it's not wrong to use happy because blessed also means happiness. So are you happy? Well, indeed, we must be happy because of what the Lord has done because of his redemption that he freely gave to you and me. And you know how the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us to the gospel. You may have heard the gospel many times, but there is a uniqueness and a special attraction that cannot be explained that draws us to the gospel finally and led us to believe in Christ for our redemption. So when we are saved, we are redeemed, that is the beginning of our worship. And because we are saved, we are now able to worship God. And so dwelling in God taught me worship. We cannot worship God when our relationship with Him is still broken. You won't be able to worship Him rightly. You won't be able to come before His holy presence for communion and service. Not even for those who come to church, if their relationship with God is still broken, they may be there for worship, they may be there for communion, but it is meaningless to them. God will not be worshipped by them. So we thank God that because of His redemption, we are now able to worship Him in a manner that fully out of His words. We can never think of the way we ought to worship or approach God in worship. Before, when we have God, we have everything, we are able to worship Him. But when we do not have God, we have nothing at all. We'll be struggling. In fact, this struggle is not a Christian struggle. It is a struggle with sin. It's a struggle with the meaningless of life. Not the struggle with coming to terms, is there really a God on this earth? So it's a sad struggle. It's not a good struggle. God's house is a representation of God's presence. So we find satisfaction not in material things, but the presence of God in the life of His people that will give them the satisfaction. So that's why the psalmist was so happy that we have chosen to understand this special truth of God's redemption. And all because of God's redemption. Verse 5, by terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. So God not only hears our prayer, He also answers our prayer. And the psalmist was testifying how terrible was God's answer to their prayer. And the word terrible refers to things that are fearful. Awful things that struck fear in the heart of man. Is there anything physical that will cause such a fear? Well, of course, over here, it tells us what is it that causes the fear? It is His righteousness. By terrible things in righteousness. You know why we fear the police. Sometimes we, I think for us, we will not threaten our children with the police. But we do fear our parents. So if you don't obey, I'll ask the policeman to come and catch you. I remember a long time ago, I thought of a parent. I can't remember whether it is in our church or in the previous church. The parents just say, no, if you don't obey, I'll ask Dr. Toh to come and talk to you. Well, then the child immediately cried. Maybe already there's such a mindset. such people don't have a higher standard. Standard of the child. Obedience that is expected. Not because they are powerful. Ordered by the police, they are the law enforcement. So, for those who have been keeping the law will not be afraid of the police. But it's only those who break the law. They will be hiding from the police. They will be afraid of the police. What about the righteousness of God? For anyone who chooses to be unrighteous, they will be very fearful. Not because they know. They know how unrighteous they are. And no one can escape God's judgment against the unrighteous. Yet, no doubt, we also fear because, not because we want to be unrighteous, but because we know God is all righteous. He can see through us. So if we are in any way, in our thoughts, in our words, or in our actions, unrighteous, God knows. And God will discipline us. God will chastise us. Of course, it's the kind of fear that we have. By terrible things in righteousness, will thou answer us, O God of our salvation. So that's why you need to be holy, even as God is holy. You need to be righteous, even as God is righteous. For He is the God of our salvation. God wants us to walk in His light. Thank God for the righteousness of Christ imputed on us, and now we can obey Him. And we will find delight in His law. And we will not find a score or a dread when we learn of God's word, how it is expected of us to obey Him. So the Lord wants us to always look up to Him. So that He will be our confidence, as what the Psalm says. You know, to us the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are above all upon the sea. So there is no place where God cannot be our confidence. No matter how, where you go, even to the far end, even away from home, even away from church. And it's all because of His redemption. We can have Him as our confidence. So will this year be a better year? Because of God's redemption through Jesus Christ. And that's the second reason why this year can be a better year. Because of God's power. From verses 6 to 8. Verse 6. Which by His strength settled past the mountain, being girded with power. Well, who is this one? Who is this that can do something to mountains? Well, even for men, how many years, how many machinery that you need in order to do something to the mountain? But not Him. Is He not the Creator? Is He not the powerful God who made the heaven and the earth? So when we ponder over all the high mountains high above us, who's the one who put there in the first place? Is it not God? Not those who try to explain away by the theory of evolution believe that the whole universe, including those mountains, comes about because of the Big Bang. So this bang caused thing to be formed, and then life started as a result of that. But this is a godless reason. There's no basis at all. So for us, we thank God we have the answer. We have a solution to the problem. And that God is the Creator in His power. He's the one who makes the whole earth. He's the one who creates everything, including the mountains. So He has all the power He needed to decide where He wanted the mountain to be placed. No one else gave him this power. He is the source of the power. So we have a powerful God. So not only over the mountain, but also over the sea. Verse 7. Who stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves. The forces of the sea can be very destructive. It causes loud noises that can sound like an explosion. Who can calm a perfect storm? Only God's power can stop it. It was not just power over nature, not only the mountain, not only the sea, but also violent men. That's why the last part of verse 7 says, the tumult of the people. Not as difficult as it can be to all these angry, violent men. Well, God has no problem dealing with them. Everything is under his control. Okay, so even the violence of the people can never overtake God's power. Just a small riot in Little India can soak the whole Singapore. So do not underestimate the violence of men. But when we stand with God, we have nothing to fear. So God is powerful. Verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost part are afraid of thy token. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and evening to return. So for those who do not believe in God, but they are very afraid of calamities. When earthquake comes, they will hide. They will tremble. When typhoon comes, they will not be found outside. They will be hiding somewhere. They are afraid of their life. But are not all these controlled by God? They say they are not afraid of God because they don't believe in Him. They reject His presence. They reject His existence. And yet, they are at the mercy of God. So because God can control all this nature. Easily. So for us who know God, when we face with all these calamities, we know whom to turn to in times of trouble. We acknowledge His power. We don't resist His power. He is a powerful God. And then at the same time, we also rejoice in Him because He is in control. So every day we see the power of God, how He made the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. That is God's power. And sometimes when I look at the how different people always take photos of the sunrise, or even sometimes the formation of the sky. This is the power of God. It calls us to remember we have such a powerful God. Because He is the one who is in control. So our sometimes we go on a trip, on a holiday to faraway places where we see great nature. We're able to enjoy the creation. Just like everybody else. But the thing is, we praise God behind the creation. But for those who do not know Him, it is simply just an admiration that goes away. Maybe they remember when they took photos and keep it a memory. But for us, it is even more meaningful, isn't it? Because we know who is the one who created all this beautiful creation. And all by the power of God. So will this year be a better year? And we have greater reason now, even today, because we are living by God's power all the time. So it can be a better year because of God's power. And then finally, it can be a better year because of God's provision. Even coming closer to where we are, from verses 9 to 13. Verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the region thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrow thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. So after creation, God continues to watch over, God continues to preserve His creation. So no doubt, the evil one may be called the God of this world, Satan himself. But God is still in control. God extends His mercy and grace upon His creatures. The sun is God's provision. The air is God's provision. Water is God's provision. All these are very basic. So it reminds us of God's provision all the time. And know that that is also God's common grace upon both the righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the evil. So even the unbelievers also experience this common grace. But they will not acknowledge that this is a provision from God. But it is important for us to acknowledge that this is God's provision. And then we thank Him for this provision. And then the following verses are also very real. Verses 11 to 13. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path brought fatness. So it's not because of me, but because of Him. The harvest is only possible when there is God providing water and sunlight. In fact, it's not just a one day affair, it is for at least 6 months, continuous supply of both water and sunlight. Cannot be under supply or over supply. So the supply is always just enough to ensure it is a good harvest. So that is God's provision. And verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hill rejoiced on every side. The pastures are clothed with flock, the valleys also are covered over with corn, they shout for joy. Even the animals are well fed and taken care of by God. And when the grass are green, filled with nutrients, well, it becomes good food for the animals to graze upon. And then when the animals eat well, they multiply many times over. So increase upon increase. So God is the one who provides. God is the one who ensures the increase. Most of the time when I look at one hawker center alone, how many chicken are they selling? And then you go to another hawker shop, so much of all this food. Well, we can only say God is in control. God is the one who provides all this for us. So indeed there is joy on every side because of all these wonderful things from God. So how can we not shout for joy and sing? So for those who pursue after health and wealth, they definitely lose out because how narrow-minded they are to think of how God can only bless them with good health and good wealth. You must go beyond. So God is not as what Chinese New Year always say, the high sending, very big happy. The charismatic will be no different if they were to look at God like a Tyson way. But our God is not the Tyson way. He's not the God of wealth. Our God is far more than that. He is the God of provision. He provides for all according to what he thinks best. And so we have seen God's provision before our very eyes. So God has been good and he continues to be good. Not many will acknowledge and praise God for what he has provided. You must not be like that. You must be the first to acknowledge and to give thanks for what God has provided for us. So if we who are his people do not praise him, who will? Now remember how the Lord said, you know, even the soul can praise the mighty power of God. So we cannot stop. So we cannot stop praising Him. We cannot stop rejoicing and singing. Okay, so let us praise God for His redemption, for His power, and also for His provision. Day by day, month by month, year by year. So will this be a better year for us because of God's redemption, because of God's power, and because of God's provision? Now that's how I read some of the questions now, very deep. So it's a time of duty of reflection, a time where we need to come before God, acknowledge Him. If the Lord is merciful to us, how can we not follow Him today and be thankful? And truly be able to say, this will be a better year. Not because of God's redemption, power, and provision. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our word. Forgive us for many times how we have sinned against thee by our love for this world that have stand in the way that caused us to be unfruitful in our spiritual life. Help us, O Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. To always come with thanksgiving from our hearts that we are able to worship thee rightly, the one living and true God. And all because of thy redemption, thy power, and also thy provision. We pray, O Lord, that we will continue to encourage one another to walk in thy light and no more in spiritual darkness. And Lord, we pray that we will continue to encourage one another to be built up in the faith, that we may all be found faithful until the day we meet our Savior, the Lord Jesus, face to face. We commit all this in thanksgiving in Jesus.